Well, amen. That was good, right? Would you let our choir and orchestra know how much you appreciate them today? They are a blessing to us each and every time we gather together. So I appreciate them. I appreciate you. Good to see you here on this Sunday morning. Glad that you're in the Lord's house with us today. These are exciting days at Westside Baptist Church. Last Friday night, we were able to host the Florida Worship Choir and Orchestra. We had a wonderful time of worship in this room on Friday night, and we're looking forward to what God's going to do next week. But right now, we're thinking about today, what God's going to do here in this place. And I'm glad that you have decided to be here in the Lord's house today. I want to ask you to take your Bible, please, and would you turn with me to the little book called 2 Timothy, and would you find chapter 3? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me just say a word to you, because next weekend is what we call Super Weekend. And my guess is that most churches do not celebrate Super Weekend, but we do. And we have for a long time. And to give you a little bit of history, several years ago, before I came to Westside Baptist Church, I noticed that the National Football League was celebrating what they called Super Sunday on the day that they would play the Super Bowl. And it just dawned on my heart that really, if anybody celebrates Super Sunday, it ought to be the Church of Jesus Christ. And so I think this is what, number 57, whatever the number is next week. But we have precedent on that, because the church has been celebrating Super Sunday for over 2,000 years. And so if anybody celebrates it, we ought to celebrate it. And so we've been celebrating Super Sunday for a number of years. And then about 3 years ago, we expanded it a little bit to Super Weekend. That's why we now have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I just want to ask you today, would you please give your Lord and your church next weekend? I don't think one weekend's too much to ask. And so I'm going to ask you to make this a priority in your life, and those around you, encourage them to come and be with us Friday night, Saturday, and then also on Sunday will be the great climax of it. So I hope that you will do that. I'll say a little bit more about that later. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. I want to ask you to join me in standing as I read from the Word of God today. I've been in this chapter for a few weeks now as I'm preaching through 2 Timothy, a letter that was penned by the Apostle Paul as he writes to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy, and he's encouraging him in the Lord. And when you come to chapter 3, he's talking about the last days. And so I'm picking up in verse 6 where I left off last Sunday morning. So with your Bible there, I want you to follow along with me as we read the text today. This is what I want to be speaking to you about. I've given today's message the title of The Frauds in the Last Day. I want you to listen to what Paul says, beginning with verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. And I'll stop right there. We're going to look at these verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, and talk a little bit about the frauds of the last days. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in this place today. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of praising your name by singing praises to you today. We thank you, Lord, that we can worship you also as we open up this book and look into your word. I pray, God, that your sweet Holy Spirit will look into our hearts. And Lord, I pray that these verses that I have just read will come to life to us, and that they will have new meaning to us today. I pray, God, that you would forgive me of my sin, and I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd take control of my mind, and God might loosen my tongue, that the words that I speak today will be your word. So, Lord, I need your help, and I ask for it today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. When I was preparing this message several weeks ago, I read the headline, and actually it was a report from 2021, and the headline said this: consumers lost $5.8 billion to fraud last year. And it said that was up 70% from 2020. Consumers lost $5.8 billion, all right, that's with a B, billion dollars to fraud. It also said that 2.8 million Americans filed a fraud complaint, which was a record number of fraud complaints. A fraud is an imposter. It is somebody who is a fake. And I jotted down three statements that I think are true of fraud on any level. And these three statements are this. Number one, they pose as somebody they are not. Number two, they prey on people who are vulnerable. And number three, they produce ruined lives. Frauds are everywhere. Financial fraud that we read about and hear about is an awful thing. But in light of the Word of God that I've just read to you this morning, spiritual fraud is even worse than financial fraud. Those who are frauds in the church, those who are fake in the church, those who are in places of leadership in the church, but who are frauds, they pose as somebody that they are not. They prey upon those who are vulnerable, and they produce ruined lives, not financially, but spiritually ruining people's lives. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about these frauds in the church, because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul began that chapter by saying, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The last days are the days before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the days of the church, the days that you and I are living in right now. I believe that we are living in the last days. I can say to you confidently today that we are closer to the return of Jesus Christ than we have ever been. I would also say to you, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. We are living in perilous time. Paul said, perilous times, difficult times, dangerous, hard to deal with times. Those are the days that we're living in right now. So he's saying to Timothy and saying to you and to me, you need to be aware of what's going to be like in the last days. And the last several weeks and the verses prior to this, we've been talking about, I guess what you could say about what it's going to be like in the pew, in the church. And I think we need to be reminded from time to time that the things that Paul talks about in this chapter are things that will be prevalent in the culture, but not only in the culture, they'll also be prevalent in the church. And so our radar needs to be up. Our antennas need to be high so that we know the days that we're living in. And the previous verses were more like what it's going to be like out there in the public, what it's going to be like out there in the pew. And now he's saying to us, now I'm going to tell you what it's going to be like in the pulpit. Beware of those who are frauds in the last days, frauds in the church. I want to say this morning that what I'm preaching to you about and what I'm going to say in these next few minutes, this is not a fun sermon. Now, there are fun sermons, and just so that you might know. I mean, there are things that I really get excited about and enjoy preaching about. And this is not one of those. This is not one of those that you're going to walk out the door in a little bit and say, man, that was really good. Brother Keith was really funny today. That's not today. So, to lighten the moment, I thought, well, maybe I need to tell you some jokes about frauds. Boy, it's hard. So to lighten the moment here, what do you call a con artist with a degree in psychology? Sigmund Freud. I'm trying to help today. Why couldn't the asphalt company be prosecuted for fraud? There was no concrete evidence. They don't get any better. They're all like that. Did you hear about the man who was found guilty in a timeshare fraud? He has to go to prison for 2 weeks every year for the next 20 years. That one's pretty good, though. I mean, that one's pretty good. Oh, well, I got to go on a let me read you one more. Did you hear about the beef jerky manufacturer who was convicted of fraud? Yeah, it was a cut and dry case. That's enough of those. Anyway, there's really nothing funny about fraud, I guess, is what we're trying to say. And especially whenever you look at what Paul is talking about, people who are masquerading, people who are pretending to be something that they're not. As a matter of fact, John Phillips in this commentary calls these frauds seducing marauders. John MacArthur calls them charlatans of religion. I just choose to call them frauds because they're imposters, they're deceivers, they're fakes. And what Paul was trying to say to us is you need to be aware in the last days, just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are going to be religious frauds. And so we need to know that so that we can look for that and we can protect ourselves. That's why I think this particular passage begins in verse 6 by saying, for of this sort. He's talked about in the previous verse about those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And now he breaks full into saying to us what these frauds are going to be like. So I want to share you four quick things about these frauds, and hopefully you will be on spiritual alert. You will be warned so that you will not become a victim of spiritual fraud. Number one, look at verse 6. Verse 6 talks about their deception. For he says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. That describes their practice. This is how they work. He says, these spiritual frauds, they will creep into houses. The word creep there is a word that means to sneak in, undetected. Some said the word means that it's like they worm their way in. They wiggle their way in. As a matter of fact, one translation says this, for among them are those who worm their way into households. The Message, which is a paraphrase, says these are the kind of people who smooth talk themselves into the home. So you need to understand, when Paul's talking about spiritual frauds, he says they are smooth talkers. They creep into the church. By the way, Jude used a similar word. Whenever I preached through Jude some time ago, in verse 4 of the little book called Jude, listen to what Jude said. He said, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Sound familiar? They crept in unaware. It is a word that is sometimes used to describe somebody who, rather than coming in the front door, they slip in the side door. They slip in the back door. It is a word that is sometimes used to describe what a lawyer will do whenever he is presenting his case. He will sometimes slip in a word in a conversation with the idea that later on he'll come back to that word. But for now, he just slips in that word. The idea is somebody who comes in unnoticed. Somebody who comes in undetected is also a word that is used sometimes to describe somebody who comes into a country slipping in illegally. And what Paul was saying, he said, listen, in the last days, there are those who are going to creep into the church. Now, mark this down. I didn't call them creeps. The Bible called them creeps. They will creep into the church. They don't come in the front door. They don't announce their plans. Paul is saying is of this sort, those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. He said you need to watch out for those of this sort. Jude was saying you need to beware of certain men. Always have your radar up because they're not going to come in like everybody else might do. They don't come in announcing what they're going to do. They just kind of slip in. Now, interesting to me that whenever I put all this together in studying the Word of God, you need to remember that Paul is an old war horse, if you will. I mean, he's served the Lord for many, many years. At one time, he was pastor of the church in Ephesus. Timothy is a young preacher boy. He's just kind of getting started. And he is pastor now of the church in Ephesus. And so you hear the similar, both of these guys have pastored the same church. What's interesting about that is in Acts chapter 20, Paul is completing his third missionary journey. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. He stops by Ephesus and he speaks not to the whole church, but to the elders of the church. And in Acts chapter 20, listen to what Paul said in verses 29 and 30. He said to the elders of the church at Ephesus, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." That is, Paul said before Timothy ever became pastor, he said, I'm going to tell you that there's going to be grievous wolves. What's he talking about? He's talking about men who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. What's he talking about? He's talking about men who will creep into houses, come in undetected. Paul warned them a long time ago, this was going to happen. And so you need to be aware, in the church, in the last days, there will be those who are the deceivers. That will be their practice. They will creep in. They may be preachers. They may be deacons. They may be Sunday school teachers. They may be committee members, but they creep into the church. They slide into the church. They get accepted, and then they get respected, and then they get elected, and all of a sudden they are in power. Now, so they have just crept in. They take over a class. They take over a church. They take over a school. They take over a denomination, and all of a sudden men have crept in unaware, and they have completely destroyed the church of Jesus Christ. You say, does that really happen? Well, yes, it does. As a matter of fact, it has happened. You know that of the first 100 colleges in America, that 88 of the first 100 colleges in America were started to train preachers. That's why they were started, to train preachers who would preach the Word of God. Schools like Yale, Harvard, Princeton got their start with a biblical basis to train preachers to preach the Word of God. But those schools are no longer doing that. Why do they no longer do that? It's because men of this sort, they crept in and they led those schools away from what was their foundation. And so they led them away. I'm saying to you today, we need to be very much aware. Your radar needs to be up because in the last days, Paul said, there will be deceivers. And he said, of this sort, they which creep into houses. Not only did he talk about their deception, he also talked about their disciples. Look at the latter part of verse 6 and verse 7. Listen to what he says. After he says they creep into houses, he said, and they lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If in fact the first part of verse 6 talks about their practice, this part talks about their prey. That is, who are they going to prey upon? Paul said that these frauds, these false teachers, he said, they will prey upon women. Little Bible study. Just bear with me. We'll just look at all that for just a moment. He said they will lead captive. It pictures blindfolding somebody and leading them away against their will. They're going to lead them away captive. Then he said they will lead away silly women. Now the word silly doesn't mean what I guess what we would mean, maybe funny or something like that. The word silly there is a word that literally means little women. And the idea is not little in stature. What the word means that they are weak, weak women. Now, that doesn't mean every woman is weak. We know that's not true. They're not all weak. But we know that what he's talking about here, there are some who are weak. They are, the word means immature, it means childlike, and the idea is, if you put this together, here come these charlatans, as MacArthur called them, and these smooth talkers who worm their way in, and what they're going to do, they're going to prey upon women who are weak. They will prey upon, they're easy targets. Remember what I said? They frauds pose as somebody that they are not, and they prey upon those who are vulnerable. That's what Paul is saying is here they're preying upon these weak women. Then he also describes them as being laden with sins. What that means is they're weighted down with the guilt of their sin. And they don't know how to get out of that. They go from one sin to another sin. You could say they are not only weak women, they are wicked women as well. And so they are, the Bible says, led away with their lust. That is their sensual cravings, their fleshly desires, their sexual desire. And so they're following every desire, every evil desire they have. And because of that now, he's saying that they're guilty, they're depressed, they're vulnerable, they're being led away. And the scripture says, by the way, and I think this verse goes with what he's talking about, the silly women, when he said that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Which means, I think, they are attracted to religious teachings, but they don't really understand them, and so they don't know the truth of the gospel. They're just following after religions. So if you put this together, what Paul was saying was, in the last days, listen now, he says there's going to come these smooth-talking frauds, and they're going to sneak in. They're going to slip in not only the church, but into the culture, and they're going to be target after women who are weak and who are wicked. It's hard to really try to figure all that out, but I, when I look at that, I'm thinking that maybe what he's saying is, even in our day, there are many of those who are false religions. They prey upon women, particularly women who may be at home during the day. You know that there's a lot of people who come knocking on doors during the days, during the week, whenever many women are at home. Or maybe there maybe some powerful preacher who is on the television set and he's on during the day, and so that he can come in and take prey upon them. And so that's the kind of thing I think that he's talking about. These are women who are, they're vulnerable. They have sin in their heart. They have desires in their lives, and they're watching the wrong television shows, or maybe they're reading the wrong novels, and maybe they're surfing the wrong sites on the internet. And here comes along some smooth talking preacher, and he sucks them in. He doesn't convert them to Christ. That's not his goal. His goal is to get a following. His goal is to get some money. And so he just comes along and he gets that, and he gets power, because they're frauds in their day, and they're preying upon weak, wicked women. It's a sad thing. We see a lot of that today. They knock on doors during the week. They broadcast their shows during the week. And the Bible says in the last days, that will be very, very prevalent. Thirdly, notice this, their deception. Their description. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, he says, now, he's talking about the frauds in the church. He says, now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. He's talking about the frauds. They resist the truth. And then he describes them. He says they're men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Go back to that. This is talking about now their predecessors. If he's talking earlier on about their practice and then talking about their prey, now he's describing their predecessors. And he lifts up two names that up to this point in the Bible we have not heard. And he describes these two guys named Jannes and Jambres. And what he's talking about, these were those who back in the book of Exodus, they were Egyptian magicians, if you will, and they were under the control of a man by the name of Pharaoh. They were wicked men. They worked their magic for the Pharaoh of Egypt. Some of you recall the story back in the book of Exodus whenever Moses was trying to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and remember the plagues that came upon the land. And whenever Moses would take the rod of Aaron and he would perform miracles with the rod of Aaron, and then Pharaoh's magicians would duplicate the miracles. You remember that? Now, whenever you read the book of Exodus, they're not named. We're not told who they are. But in some of the Jewish sacred writings, you'll find their names. And here in this book called 2 Timothy, we're told what their names are. Their names are Jannes and Jambres. And so he's talking about those kind of guys. And the Bible says back in the day in the book of Exodus, they withstood Moses. The word means that they set themselves up against Moses. They opposed Moses. And you may recall the story that whenever Moses took his rod and put it down and it turned into a serpent, they took their rods, put them down, they turned into serpents. And whenever Moses took the rod of Aaron and put it in the Nile River and it ran red, they were able to turn water into blood as well. Whenever Moses then called a plague of frogs upon the land, then these imposters were able to do the same thing. They duplicated everything that Moses had done. Now hang on to that I'm not going to talk about it right now, but hang on to that thought for just a moment. Because now Paul is saying is just like these two guys were in the book of Exodus and were in the land of Egypt, he said these false teachers, these frauds, they're going to be there in Ephesus and in our day as well. So he's saying there's going to be these false teachers. By the way, there's always been false teachers. Go back in the Old Testament, you'll read about false prophets. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 24. He says, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So Jesus said also in Matthew 24 that in the last days, he said there's going to be these false Christs, these false prophets. And what are they going to do? The Bible says here, Paul said they're going to resist the truth. So they're, when you put it all together, he said they're going to be guys who are going to rise up just like these Egyptian magicians, and they're going to sneak into the church, they're going to lead captive silly women, and said they are going to stand against the things of God. There are going to be some in the church who will deny the inerrancy of Scripture. There will be some in the church who will doubt the miracles of the Bible. There are going to be some in the church, and they're going to question the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. And I'm just simply saying this to you today, that's happening everywhere. There are people behind pulpits like this today who do not believe that the Bible is absolutely trustworthy and absolutely authoritative, and they will question the Word of God. There are some today who stand behind pulpits, and whenever they come to the stories about how they parted the Red Sea or how Jesus turned the water into wine and all the miracles of the Bible, they will question the miracles of the Bible. I'm not talking about people who just sit out in the pew. I'm talking about people who stand behind the pulpits and who will question the very doctrines of the Bible. And the Scripture says in the last days that will happen. Why? Look at the latter part of here, verse 8. It says, "For they have corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." The word corrupt is a word that means twisted and distorted, and it's so bad that it cannot be reversed. Reprobate means that they have rejected the faith. That is, their faith was not real. Their faith was not pure. They were frauds. They were fake. They were imposters all along the way. And so he said, in the last days, behind the pulpits, there will be some who will deny the faith. In the seminaries that are training the pastors, there will be some who deny the faith. They'll dress good. They'll look good. They'll sound good. But they don't believe the Bible. They don't stand on the Word of God. As a friend of mine used to say in another church, he said they'll be that their hair is dyed and dried and laid to the side. They'll look real good. And the tragedy is their congregations will never hear the life-changing, soul-saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you say it's a tough. I told you this isn't a fun sermon, all right? But he said it's going to be a tough day. Whenever there'll be those, they'll be just like those Egyptian magicians back in the day. One last thing, look at verse 9. I like the last point best of all. Because there, Paul tells us their demise. After talking about all these false teachers, he said, these frauds, he says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men. As theirs also was. That is, as Jannes and Jambres also was. I like it. Matter of fact, I like John Phillips' commentary. He divides that verse into two simple statements, and I like it enough that I'm going to share it with you. He says in the first part of verse 9, this talks about their parameters. God is not going to allow them progress, but yet to a certain point. And here's what verse 9 says, they will be stopped in their path. He said, they shall proceed no further. That is God, whenever you look at these spiritual frauds in the church, God marks out a boundary and God says, you're not going to go any further than this right here. God says, at this point, stop. I'm going to stop your progress. Everything that you're doing, by the way, that's good to know. God's in control. God's going to stop them. By the way, I go back to those Egyptian magicians who were duplicating the miracles of Moses. But in Exodus chapter 18, verse 8, you remember whenever the rod turned into a snake and the Nile turned into blood and the frogs came upon the land, they duplicated all that. But God had a boundary. And it says in Exodus 18, verse 18, and the magicians did so with their enchantments. This is whenever he was calling the lice on the land. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. That is, God said, that is far enough. God said, all right, you magicians, you've had your day, you've had your fun, but now God said, I'm going to stop you right where you are. God is always in control, and so God is going to stop them. I want to say this today, that there may be or there will be in the day that we're living in, that Satan will win some battles, but remember this, he will not win the war. And the day that we live in, it seems like Satan's winning everywhere, does it not? It seems like the world is turned upside down. But I'm going to tell you, it looks like he's winning now. But I'm going to tell you, I've read the end of the book, and God is going to win. And so he said, there comes a day when the scripture says he's going to put a stop to it. They will be stopped in their path. Secondly, also he says, they will be stripped of their power. For the latter part of verse 9 says, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. Folly is an interesting word. It's a Greek word that can be translated madness, or it can be translated stupidity. Their folly, their madness, their stupidity shall be manifest to all. The word manifest means to be made known, become public. What he's saying is there will come a day whenever they will be stripped of their power. There will come a day whenever God says that's enough. You're not going to go any further than that. And there's going to be a day whenever God was going to show the whole world, including the Church of Jesus Christ, that these guys are nothing but frauds. That's good news. Jannes and Jambres were exposed as frauds. frauds that are on the rise in the church today, they will be exposed as frauds. And you just need to know, as you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's telling us what the last days are going to be like. And when you hear about all these things, you skip down to verse 13 of that same chapter, and Paul says this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. It's going to get worse and worse, but it's good to know that there will come a day, Paul says, whenever they will be stopped in their path, they will be stripped of their power, and Jesus Christ will rule and reign forever and ever. He said in the last days, frauds are going to come. They're going to slip in the church. They're going to come in unaware. They're going to get a following. And they're going to find weak, wicked women. Probably some other weak, wicked people as well who will follow after them. And they're going to deny the Word of God. They're going to deny the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes people are going to flock to hear what they have to say. But there will come a day whenever God says, that's enough. And he's going to stop them, and he's going to strip them of their power, and he's going to expose them as the frauds that they are. So I'm simply saying to you today, know this, Paul's saying, in the last days, there will be frauds, spiritual frauds. And you say, well, then what I need to do in light of that? Well, what are you doing now because you know there are frauds in the world? Remember what I said? $5.8 billion consumers lost in fraud. 2.8 million Americans filed fraud complaints. So what do? Well, you try to protect yourself from fraud, right? I mean, there are all kinds of things that you can do to protect your identity, to protect your electronic devices. You have all kinds of things that you can add to protect you from fraud. That's what you do. You try to protect yourself from the frauds. So how do you protect yourself from the spiritual frauds of the day? Two things, and I'm done. If you want to protect yourself from spiritual fraud, there's two things you need to do. Maybe more than that, but there's at least two. Number one, you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing you do. Why is that important? Because whenever you place your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your life. The Bible says you are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. You're in Christ and Christ is in you. So whenever Christ is in you there, then what he's doing is he's helping you to discern. The Holy Spirit becomes your teacher, and he helps you to know what's right and what's wrong, to discern and discriminate between things. And so that's the first thing. And that's the most important thing, that you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And you might say, well, Pastor, I've already done that. Some of you in the room might say, well, I've never done that. I would encourage you to do that today. That's the first thing you do. Protect yourself from spiritual fraud by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Give him your heart, your life, your all. Secondly, you need to ground yourself in the Word of God. Ground yourself in the Word of God. Study this book. Learn this book. This will protect you from the frauds in the world. I was talking Wednesday night about counterfeit. There are people, who have always had counterfeit money, and those who are experts at detecting what is real, authentic currency and that which is unreal, counterfeit currency. But how do they learn to discern between and know that which is counterfeit? Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Those who are experts in identifying counterfeit money, they don't spend all their time studying counterfeit money. What they do is they spend their time studying what is authentic, real money, so that they have learned that so much that whenever they see counterfeit, they recognize it immediately. If you're going to recognize the counterfeits, the frauds in the world today, you don't need to, you know, go out and buy a bunch of books on how to spot counterfeit. Oh, you just need to open up this book, read this book, learn God's word, so that you know it so well that whenever somebody comes along with a false teaching, you spot it immediately because you're so grounded in the word of God. So if you're going to survive in the last days against the frauds that are out there, two things. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God will come into you. He will illuminate your mind, and you'll be able to spot the frauds, the counterfeits in the world. Study the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. And as you learn that, the Word of God will help you to spot everything that is artificial. And by the way, you need to study it at home, but you also need to be in a Bible-believing church. That's where you learn the Word of God. So beware of the frauds in the last days. Prepare yourself by trusting in Jesus as your Savior and learning the Word of God. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a word of prayer? In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our final song. I've encouraged you today how to protect yourself against the frauds in the last days. And some of you in this room today, more than anything else in the world, you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do that today. You just come to the place in your life whenever you ask Him to forgive your sin and be your Savior. If you've never done that, I would encourage you with all my heart to do that today. And that way His Holy Spirit will take up residence in your life. Some of you need to come today, take a pastor by the hand and say, "Today I want to give my heart to Jesus." I've encouraged you today to spend time in the Word of God. I pray that you will take that seriously and that you will spend time every day reading God's Word. I encourage you to get involved in a connection group here at our church, to being faithful in our worship service. And if you're looking for a church home, God's brought you here and you're saying, I need a church where I can learn the Word of God better than, and this is where God wants you, I want to encourage you to come today as well and say, I'd like to become a member of this church. Father, I thank you today for your sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you for your excellent word. God, I thank you that you told us what these days would be like. And God, we are not surprised by what we're seeing in our modern world because we've read your book. So Lord, I pray today that you will equip us to be able to stand in the last days. And Lord, that we be able to share the truth of the gospel with those who need Jesus. And so God, I just pray that right now your Holy Spirit will move up and down every row and tug at every heart. God, I know this hasn't been an easy message for me to preach, probably not an easy message for people to listen to. But God, I pray that right now that your Holy Spirit will just speak truth to every heart. And God, whatever it is you want us to do, I pray that our answer to you today will be yes. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you join me in standing? Our pastors are in their places here at the altar today. God spoke into your heart today. There's something God wants you to do. They're here to receive you. There's something you want to talk to them about, something you'd like for them to pray about, some commitment you want to make today. Come, tell one of these men of God today, right now, while we sing. Lord, I